Hier ist Tom Junkersdorf mit Tomorrow, der Business and Style Podcast. Ich habe schon immer davon geträumt, einmal das zu sagen, was amerikanische Showmaster an dieser Stelle gern tun. My next guest needs no introduction. Und heute kann ich es endlich tun. Mein Gast heute, the man who needs no introduction. Der Mann, den man gar nicht groß vorstellen muss, weil ihn sowieso die ganze Welt kennt. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Today is the day. Es ist der Tag, auf den ich mich schon so lange freue und den wir wegen der Pandemie immer wieder verschieben mussten. Ich bin in Amerika, in Kalifornien, in Santa Monica und er ist bei mir. The one and only Arnold Schwarzenegger. Legende, Ikone, der personifizierte amerikanische Traum. Vor 53 Jahren zog er von Österreich nach Los Angeles, driven by big dreams. Er wollte Bodybuilder werden und wurde der erfolgreichste Bodybuilder der Welt. Er wollte Schauspieler werden und drehte mit Terminator den erfolgreichsten Hollywood-Movie seiner Zeit. Er wollte Politiker werden und wurde Governor in Kalifornien, der fünftgrößten Wirtschaft der Welt, und drehte den wichtigsten amerikanischen Bundesstaat auf Nachhaltigkeit. Heute ist er globaler Klimakämpfer. Seine Vision, nichts Geringeres als die Welt zu retten. Eine unfassbare Karriere und viel zu besprechen. Wir haben uns morgens zum Sonnenaufgang in der Mojave-Wüste vor Los Angeles verabredet. Hier steht die größte Windkraft- und Solarpanelanlage der Welt, die errichtet wurde, als Arnold Governor war. Erneuerbare Energie, ein Thema, das ihn schon antrieb, als andere noch gar nicht an Nachhaltigkeit dachten. Abfahrt früh um 4.30 Uhr. Während Arnold sogar vor der offiziellen Calltime erscheint, hätte ich es fast nicht geschafft. Die erste Maschine nach Los Angeles habe ich nämlich verpasst, weil die Überprüfung meiner Einreisedokumente so lange gedauert hat, dass die Maschine weg war. Die zweite Maschine dann hatte einen Triebwerkausfall. Ein Drama. Aber mit Happy End in letzter Sekunde. Na, und Hollywood ist doch die Hometown aller Happy Ends. Wir haben mit Arnold ein Cover-Shooting für die Jubiläumsausgabe von Icon gemacht, dem Stilmagazin der Welt am Sonntag, zusammen mit seiner Tochter Christina. Und dann haben wir geredet über Motivation und Mindset. In Tomorrow verrät Arnold Schwarzenegger seine besten Erfolgsregeln. Warum es wichtig ist, immer hungrig zu bleiben, stay hungry, und man niemals etwas halbherzig tun sollte. Wie man mit Rückschlägen richtig umgeht und warum man sich genau auf diese schlechten Tage, rainy days, wie er sie nennt, vorbereiten sollte. Arnold Schwarzenegger super persönlich. Er spricht hier sehr offen über seine Familie, auch über die Probleme, die es in der Familie gab und über seine schweren Herzoperationen und wie er sich zurückgekämpft hat. Dazu seine neuesten Projekte, seine entscheidenden Learnings, warum die Menschen wieder Hoffnung brauchen, was in der Klimapolitik falsch läuft und ob wir die Welt, in der wir leben, wirklich noch retten können. Das alles jetzt hier in Tomorrow. Arnold in Action. Mal spricht er Deutsch, mal Englisch, mal Österreichisch, aber immer Klartext. Also, er ist back. Er ist hier. Vom Terminator zum Governator und Visionator oder Visionator. Viel Spaß mit dem legendären Arnold Schwarzenegger. Bevor der Podcast startet, Shoutout an meine Freunde von Cobra. Seit 3 Jahren sind wir jetzt schon Partner bei Tomorrow. Seit 3 Jahren geht es uns darum, Game Changern hier eine Bühne zu geben. Ein echtes Commitment, jede Woche wieder. Eine Bühne für Menschen, die sich trauen, den Status quo zu hinterfragen. Die uns inspirieren, weil sie neue Wege gehen, um Neues zu entdecken. Und ja, um Neues zu erschaffen und uns hier bei Tomorrow dann davon erzählen. Es geht um Persönlichkeit, um Haltung, um Empowerment. Und vielleicht macht das unsere Verbindung auch so besonders zwischen Cobra und Tomorrow, weil wir beide genau diese neuen Wege gegangen sind. Cobra als Challenger Brand aus Barcelona und Tomorrow als Challenger Podcast. Ich freue mich auf ein neues, tolles, aufregendes und super spannendes Podcast-Jahr mit Cupra und dem vollelektrischen Cupra Born. Egal ob today oder tomorrow. IWC Schaffhausen schafft seit über 150 Jahren in ihrer modernen Manufaktur in der Schweiz in Präzisionsarbeit funktionale Zeitmesser mit wirklich ikonischem Design. Erschaffen für das Hier und Jetzt, für charismatische Individualisten und Visionäre. Entwickelt für die Ewigkeit. Besuche IWC auf iwc.com und entdecke die faszinierenden, hohen Kreationen der nachhaltigen Uhrmacherkunst. IWC Schaffhausen wünscht dir nun viel Spaß und unterhaltsame Stunden bei den hoffentlich inspirierenden Gesprächen in meinem Podcast Tomorrow. Willkommen bei Tomorrow, lieber Arnold.
Willkommen. Also, was willst du fragen? Wir machen das Interview in Englisch.
Okay.
Weil ich kann mich viel besser ausdrücken in Englisch als in Deutsch.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, I do ask my question in German, if it's okay.
Du kannst fragen, was du willst. Ich verstehe schon die deutsche Frage.
Okay, perfekt.
Okay, gut. Unglaublich, du. Es ist ja unglaublich. Tom, du bist der Beste.
Ja.
Es gibt nichts Besseres. So lustig. Na, du warst lange im Flugzeug.
Ich war sehr lange im Flugzeug.
Ja, neun Stunden Verspätung hast du gehabt.
Ja, und ich bin so froh, dass ich es geschafft habe, jetzt zu dir. Wir haben in den letzten Wochen und Monaten ja viel FaceTime-Interviews machen können, viele FaceTime-Talks. Aber es ist natürlich schön, dich jetzt endlich mal wieder live zu sehen und zu erleben. Sag mal, du machst immer diese FaceTime-Anrufe bei Freunden. Liebst du eigentlich diese Art von Überraschung? Ich meine, du kannst deine Freunde ja auch in unmöglichen Situationen dabei erwischen.
Vielleicht ist es der Grund, dass ich sehr gerne FaceTime mache. No, I love FaceTime. I don't even have a telephone anymore. I don't use the phone. I just use FaceTime. And I understand that some people, like Joe Weider's wife, Joe Weider is the guy that brought me to America. He was like the king of bodybuilding. His wife now is like in late 80s. She said to me, I don't want to do FaceTime. He said, I look ugly in the morning when you call me. I don't want to do that. I said, Betty, you never look ugly. You're one of the most famous models in the world. And you look still gorgeous. I said, even in your 80s. No, you will never get me on FaceTime. So I understand that there are some people that don't want to do FaceTime. Look, my assistant, Lynn, she got so used to it at the FaceTime. So she, when her hair is wet in the morning and when she has no makeup on, she then answers still the FaceTime because she realizes that I don't care. I'm not calling her to look pretty. I don't call her to have the makeup on. She doesn't have to do any of that. She's in her 60s and she looks fantastic the way she looks, no matter how she looks. You know, it doesn't matter.
So erkennst du ja im Grunde genommen auch, wer deine wirklich guten Freunde sind, wenn sie trotzdem rangehen, wenn du anrufst und egal in welchem Zustand sie gerade sind, ob sie ready sind oder nicht.
Ja, yeah, es ist ganz egal. Also, you know, it's just, I think it's more personal when you see someone on the phone and you see their facial expressions, you see where they are, if they're in the gym, if they're in the kitchen making coffee, if they're at work, if they're in a garage fixing a car. Like when I FaceTime Jay Leno, you know, he maybe is in the garage fixing a car, tuning it up or something like that. I call sometimes friends there in the middle of cooking in the kitchen. So whatever. I mean, that's funny that they can right away explain to you what they're doing and then show you. Like whenever people FaceTime me, I say, oh, guess what? Lulu, come over here, you know. And so I bring Lulu over in the shot and then she's in the shot. So that's funny. Or I take the phone with me, the iPad. And I go over to the store, to the stable, and then just, you know, play around with the horses. So people enjoy that. So why not?
Großartig. Arnold, ich würde wahnsinnig gerne mit dir über Motivation reden. Wir sind hier in Los Angeles, wir sind schon den ganzen Tag unterwegs, wir haben ein großes Shooting gemacht für Icon, das Stilmagazin der Welt am Sonntag. Das Shooting war heute Morgen super früh, für alle war 4 Uhr morgens Wake-up-Call und wir mussten rausfahren in die Wüste, waren 2 Stunden unterwegs. Und alle vom Team waren überrascht, dass du nicht nur pünktlich kamst, sondern auch noch 10 Minuten früher. Ich meine, ich kenne so viele Superstars, die würden sich erstmal eine Stunde Superstar-Pause nehmen. Aber du kommst nicht nur pünktlich, sondern früher. Was ist das für dich für eine Motivation? Was treibt dich an?
I think the first of all, this is work ethics. I mean, if you go to work, then you go to work. And I think that if we have an agreement that we meet at 8 o'clock or at 7:30, like this morning, then I'll try to be there at 7:30. It doesn't mean that I'm always there on time, because sometimes you get stuck in the traffic or so on. But that's my idea, is that I will do everything I can to be there on time. And I also will do everything I can to do my work in the most perfect way. That doesn't mean it's going to be perfect, but I'm trying to be and do my work in the most perfect way and give everything that I have. So this is just my attitude. I think I approached everything in my life like that. It was always kind of, you know, we have this saying in German, wenn schon, denn schon. And I love that because it says it all. If you do something, then you go all out. Or don't do it at all. Don't do anything half-ass. Yeah, I can go and play golf half-ass. I'm a shitty golf player, you know, but this has never been my goal to be a great golf player. But I mean, but most of the stuff that I do is I go all out, no matter if it was in the political life, if it was in my bodybuilding life, in my show business life, in business, with my family, with everything like this. I always try to just give everything that I have. And I like to work hard and play hard. That's it.
War das bei dir schon immer so oder hast du das im Laufe deiner Karriere irgendwann auch angeeignet, dass du gesagt hast, ich muss was ändern und um noch besser zu werden, noch perfekter zu werden, muss ich diese Attitude haben? Oder
war Tom, we have talked about it many times because we know each other now for quite some time. It was upbringing, die Erziehung bei uns in Österreich, im Tal, wo ich aufgewachsen bin, war sehr streng. Und da habe ich das gelernt. Mein Vater hat immer gesagt, du musst dich zu irgendwas verpflichten und dann das machen. Und be useful. Be useful. Das war immer, was er gesagt hat. Und so für mich war das ernst genommen. And I lived my life like that. That doesn't mean that I didn't always try to be better. There were times where I felt like I'm even more hungry to do it better. I want to be a better bodybuilder. I want to train harder. I want to train longer. I want to get smarter in food supplements and nutrition. And I want to get better in my posing. And the same was in politics. I went in there to be governor in order to make the state a better state. But then I realized that I didn't know everything. So I had to really speed up and learn. So the Capitol in Sacramento kind of became like a university for me. It was like every hour I had a meeting, I learned new things. So I was willing, because my mind is like a sponge. I love to learn and I love to absorb and to gain knowledge. And so, you know, I think it's part of the philosophy of staying hungry. Bleib hungrig. Bleib hungrig. Das ist immer das Wichtigste für mich. So I'm always trying to improve, no matter what it is.
Du bist ja sogar hungrig geblieben, jetzt in einer Zeit, die für viele schwierig war. Diese Pandemie hat ja für uns alle die Welt verändert, hat unsere Workflows verändert, hat die Möglichkeit, sich frei bewegen zu können, verändert. Viele strugglen damit. Ich meine, wir kennen uns wirklich gut, wir telefonieren regelmäßig. Du bist immer positiv in der Zeit. Selbst diese große Pandemie hat dich nicht runterziehen können. Wo andere strugglen, holst du dein Esel in die Küche und dein Pony in die Küche, Whisky und Lulu. Und ihr habt Spaß. Wie machst du das?
Ja, es ist, you know, for me, I realize that you can't go through life where everything is a straight 10, where everything is perfect, where everything, where the sun is shining every day. That is not reality. The reality is that some days the sun is out and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's raining, sometimes it's storming, sometimes it's wind howling, and there's, you know, Umwetter. And that's the same in life. You know, that some days are fantastic, and like today, our day is great. We're working together really great. You bring all these wonderful clothes from Italy and from Germany and dress me up, and I'm on an Icon magazine cover and inside. So that's a great day, and we're going to get a lot of accomplished, so to speak. But tomorrow may be different. So we don't know. So I've gone through times where I was at the height, everything was perfect, and then all of a sudden the doctor would say, you need heart surgery. You need open heart surgery. So then, now you have to deal with that. And the same is when, you know, there is an earthquake in Los Angeles. We have to adjust to that. We have to then rebuild. We have to take care of the injured. People will be dead. And we have to take care of that. And on. So it's not always perfect. And so I think it's important that we are able to adjust and to adjust very quickly. When you drive your Volkswagen Beetle up on a nice freeway, you drive with the fourth gear. But as soon as it goes up a steep hill, you have to shift back very quickly. And you shift down. And then you shift down further. And when it gets no even steeper, you shift down again. You don't say to yourself, oh, God damn it, I'm so depressed that now there's a hill and I can't get up that hill and I have to shift. No, it is just the way it is. So the same is in life. Those moments come. And so now, because we got so spoiled over the years and over the decades, economy is going pretty well, with economic growth, with job growth. You know, houses that were once $100,000, now worth $200,000, or whatever it is, everything is sustained and fine. So all of a sudden, we get hit by a pandemic. And now things are a little different. For some people, not very much different, but different. And for other people, very different. They lose their jobs, they lose their businesses, and it's very dramatic, and it's horrible, it's sad. But you got to adjust to it. And this is why I always say to people, apply the 7 P's.
The 7 P's.
The 7 P's in the Marine, in America, they say the 7 P's. Proper prior planning prevents pissed poor performance.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so that's the way. So what that means basically is, don't think it's everyday sunshine. Have also some clothes available when it gets freezing cold. Have a nice turtleneck sweater. Have a parka. Have an anorak. Have, you know, an overcoat. Have a raincoat in case it rains and storms. And the same is in life. You got to be ready to put some money aside for the rainy day, which we call the rainy day fund. Don't live just off credit cards and live in debt. Find a way to change that and put like the old folks did, like my mother and my grandmother did, put some money aside, and they've stuffed it in a pillowcase, right? Because it was not used, they were not used to going to a bank. So that's what you need to do. You got to put some money aside for the rainy day fund so that when there's a trouble that you have money available. So now all of a sudden, when you don't make money and you lose your job or your business, you have some money put aside. So now you have to pay rent, you have money for the rent. You have to go and take care of your kids, you have some money to take care of the kids and all that stuff. So this is what really hurt people. They all of a sudden, they were out of money and the banks didn't give them any money. They lost their business, they lost their jobs or whatever it is. So it made it very, very difficult for some people, you know. But the bottom line is, if you're preparing for those moments, and if you know that's the way life is, then you're much more ready for those kind of moments. That doesn't mean that it's not painful, but you're much more ready for this. So I myself didn't suffer through anything. I lost a few, movies that we couldn't do, but so what, right? If that's the worst thing, as long as I'm on this side of the grass, I'm happy. You know, nothing can throw me off.
Aber was machst du, Arnold, wenn es wirklich auch in deinem Leben mal richtig regnet und schüttet? Du hast es ja gerade erwähnt, du hattest eine komplizierte Herzoperation. Wie schaffst du es da, umzuswitchen und zu sagen, ich lasse mich davon nicht runterziehen?
Well, you know, you get down, but it's normal. You know, the drugs take you down, the anesthesia takes you down. I've had 4 heart surgeries now. And, you know, but you have to accept it. That you say to yourself, well, you know, I inherited this from my family, from my mother's side. You know, she had a Herzklappen problem, so heart valve problem. And her mother had a heart valve problem, and her mother had a heart valve. So it is in the family. So what am I going to say? What am I going to do? Right? So I'm lucky that I grew up with a will to succeed. I'm happy that I grew up that you have to go to work in order to make a living. That work your ass off, which is one of my rules to success. No shortcuts. Work your ass off. You know, it's 24 hours a day. And so what do you make with this 24 hours? What do you do with it? So so I grew up with that. I saw my mother working very hard. I saw my father working very hard. I saw the neighbor working very hard. I saw the farmer on the other side working very hard. I saw everyone when I grew up working very, very hard. And so I grew up in that. I'm used to that. So I'm happy that I got good education. I'm glad that my parents got me interested to being hungry and always looking for better things and to be curious and all this stuff. So there's so many things that I have brought with me from my upbringing so that I have a heart defect. I'm not going to go and let that kind of like throw me off and say, oh my God, and just think about the negative. No, I put it on a balance. I said, you know, overall, I'm very happy with my health. I'm very happy with what I've learned in my life. I'm very happy that I came from such a strict background and that I came from such a great family, a strong family, even though we had our problems in the family. You know, my father was an alcoholic and all of those kind of things, and there was violence in the family and all this stuff. But I mean, still, we just grew up, you know, being strong because of that upbringing, and it helped me for the rest of my life. So I sit here today and I'm delighted about when I look back at my life. And I'm excited that now at 74, I'm still curious and I'm still hungry and I still want to go and march on and do more.
Und du bist immer positiv. Arnold, du hast gerade bei dem Weltklimaforum in Wien eine bemerkenswerte Rede gehalten. Die ganze Welt redet natürlich im Moment über Nachhaltigkeit, Sustainability. Und du hast sehr beeindruckend gesagt, dass die ganze Kommunikation zu diesem Thema eben überhaupt nicht funktioniert, weil sie eben anders als dein Approach nicht positiv ist, sondern ständig negativ. Dass die Menschen immer nur negative Botschaften kriegen. Und du sagst, auch da muss man positiv denken. Das reicht nicht nur in seinem eigentlichen Leben, im normalen Business positiv zu denken, sondern auch wenn es um solche großen Themen wie, können wir die Welt retten, geht, auch da muss positiv gedacht werden. Also was läuft aus deiner Sicht da falsch?
I think what the environmentalists are saying is true. It's not that anyone is not telling the truth. It's just that you cannot bombard people from morning to night with negative kind of news and reports. Because I think that people also need hope. It's the same thing that if someone that weighs 300 pounds and he joins the gym, you don't go and tell this person, you're fucked, you're fat, look at you, what the hell has happened to you? And start really attacking that person. It would be the wrong thing. You would go and say, you know something? I've had 3 clients in my gym. As a matter of fact, just last year, they weighed even more than you did. And they came down to 200 pounds. You know how? Because they were training every day and they started reducing their food intake. They didn't eat the pizzas anymore. They didn't eat the sweets anymore. And they just stayed, you know, on vegetables and fish products and blah, blah, blah. And so they, now this person is pumped up. He says, oh, there is possibility there. And so that's what you have to do with the environment. You have to encourage people. You have to let them know also the good news that while, yes, many nations in the world are promising their people that they're going to reduce greenhouse gases and pollution, and they're not keeping their promises. Yes, this is true. But at the same time, we have to also say, look, there's some countries that are doing a great job. Some states like California, where we literally reduced our greenhouse gases, our pollution by 25%. And where we got our renewables up, and where we did the Green Building Initiative, and where we did the low carbon fuel standard, and the million solar roofs that we built, and solar all over California we built during my time as governor. So there's great news and there's great stuff going on at the same time. And at the same time, when it comes to the private sector, technology is so advanced now that we are getting a lot of help in that direction. I mean, if you just think about the technology of a Tesla car, I'm not doing a promotion for Tesla because I just happen to think the world of it because they started in California. They never produced a car before. And now with that electric kind of power, they will reduce the greenhouse gases tremendously because so many millions of cars now are on the road that are electric rather than fossil fuel cars. So technology helps a lot. I mean, you have smart meters, that helps a lot. So there's a lot of things that we can do now, like we passed laws in California to reduce the energy that you needed for the appliances, for the mixers and for cooking and for television and for all of those kind of things. So that technology was so helpful to reduce. So there's all kinds of great technology around the world that is discovered all the time. And I think we should also talk about that, that there's hope. And also we have to tell people, look, don't rely just solely on government, that this is a people's issue too. It's not just a government issue. What do you do in order to keep this environment clean? What do you do? Is ask yourself the question, do you want to be part of the solution or do you want to be part of the problem?
Aber heißt das, dass bisher das ganze Klimathema, die Klimapolitik falsch kommuniziert wurde? Und die andere Frage, wenn man natürlich sieht, was im Moment in der Welt passiert, in Kalifornien brennt es, in Europa brennt es, in Deutschland gab es riesige Überschwemmungen, überall sind plötzlich Hurricanes. Es fällt natürlich auch schwer, bei den aktuellen Ereignissen, die ja definitiv mit dem Klimawandel zusammenhängen, noch die Hoffnung zu verbreiten und dieses positive Storytelling, das du gerne
möchtest. Well, we have to, I mean, no matter what it is, you have to give people hope. That is just as simple as that. And I always say to them, you can talk all you want the negative stuff, but you have to give people hope. And I think it is very important that people see it firsthand now that all over the world, all of the stuff that will happen with climate change is becoming a reality. But at the same time, as we see the storms, as we see the wildfires, as we see the überschwemmung and the floods and all of this stuff all over Europe and all over the world, at the same time, I have to say that we have to communicate the right way because that is the most important thing there is that we have to tell people a simple message and is we have to reduce pollution because you can talk all you want about climate change because no one knows what the hell you're talking about. People talk about climate change and when you go up and down the street in a town and say, what's the definition of climate change? Or Umweltverschmutzung. They will give you 100 different answers. You know, this is to make the water dirty, or it makes the soil dirty, or it makes the air dirty. And I don't really know exactly. And they talk about, you know, the reefs, being destroyed, the coral reefs being destroyed, the ocean full of plastic, you know, this is burning, and the polluted, you know, grounds. All of this stuff, but people will be all over the place, but they would never know exactly what is climate change. But if you say pollution, that you can see, comes out of the big chimneys and factory buildings and stuff like that. It comes out, you see over every big city in the world, you see pollution and that kills people. So therefore we have to talk more about that because that is easy to see. It's easy to understand. It says we got to terminate pollution because pollution kills 7 million people a year. That's the message we have to drive home. That's a doable message rather than talking about something like climate change and all of those things that no one really knows what it is, and therefore, how can I help to attack it and to get rid of it if I don't know what it is?
Du sprichst von Hoffnung. Du bist einer der globalen Klimakämpfer. Hast du die Hoffnung, dass wir den Planeten noch gerettet kriegen? Kriegen wir das gedreht?
Well, I always say we have no choice. So we have to. And I think as soon as the environmentalists and as soon as government and everyone gets together and recognizes the power of people, that's when everything will change. Because right now, environmentalists are talking to environmentalists. They're talking a language that no one understands. And then government talks to government and they cannot get anything done. So you have to involve the people. Remember that when you think about the civil rights movement in America, that was really created by people marching and protesting. They went out there and took matters into their own hands. Why? Because Washington couldn't solve the problem, but the people then did. And then they followed with the laws. The same is with the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa. It was solved by people, not by Pretoria, but the capital of South Africa. It was solved by people. People were protesting. People stopped buying their products. They didn't allow them in sports and all of this stuff. So everyone worked together, people, and then eventually changed. And they created more equality. And the same is with the Indian independence movement. The same is with the women's suffrage movement that gave women the right to vote in America. With all those movements, all those greatest movements in the world, always were done by people. As I said in my speech in Vienna, who brought the Berlin Wall down? Was it the politicians or was it the people? It was the people. The politicians then went there to do the photo op. They stood there, then look at this, what we did. Typical politicians. But the reality was it was the people. And that's what I want to happen in the environmental movement. I want the people to get involved. And the only way we get them involved is if they understand what we're talking about. That's why I say communicate the right way. Then you make people part of the movement. And then we can do it.
Kommunikation hat sich ja total verändert. Gerade bei dir. Du hast ja die neuen Medien umarmt wie kaum ein anderer. Du hast dir einen Instagram-Account aufgebaut mit 22 Millionen Follower. Du machst einen Newsletter, der Millionen Menschen erreicht. Ist es für dich eigentlich eine neue Power, die du auch fühlst und auch eine Verantwortung fühlst, dass du plötzlich direkt zu den Menschen kommunizieren kannst?
You know, I have always used every opportunity that I could get a hold of to communicate with the people. Because if you don't communicate to the people of what you have to offer, then you have nothing. You can literally have the best product in the world, Tom, the best product in the world. But if no one knows about it, you're not going to sell one item. And so the same is with everything. We have to communicate with the people. If it is about making bodybuilding more popular or making fitness more popular, I went around the world to do press conferences and to do seminars, and I wrote books and booklets and magazine. I was, you know, the editor of a magazine, bodybuilding magazine, and wrote my columns and did all of this stuff. It was hard, hard work. Today it's easier because we have social media. So we don't only have to rely on the media itself, but you now add the social media. And a lot of times from the social media, the media copies from that or writes off from that, gets the information from that. So I think it has been very, very useful and very, very ideal for me to have social media and to communicate with my fans and with the world. People that are not fans, it makes no difference. I mean, it's the idea is that I express myself. I let my ideas come out. If it's about the environment, if it's about the vaccine, if it's about COVID-19 or the Delta strand or whatever it is, my movies, my philosophies, my rules to success, whatever it is, I can directly communicate with the people now through social media. But I still appreciate the great work and the great help that the media has always given me in my life. And I still include them in everything that I do.
Heute Morgen, lieber Arnold, waren wir an einem Platz auf einer der größten Solaranlagen und Windkraftanlagen der Welt. Du hast sie mitgeschaffen und überhaupt erst ermöglicht. Du warst Gouverneur von Kalifornien bis 2011. Du bist es jetzt also seit 10 Jahren nicht mehr. Hast du das Gefühl, dass du eigentlich heute ohne ein offizielles politisches Amt mehr Power hast als vorher?
Man hat gewisses Power, wenn man in Office ist, wenn du Gouverneur bist. And then you have certain powers that you don't have then, that I have now being out of office. Because now, because I'm not, you know, in politics, I can go and talk very openly to Republicans and very openly to Democrats. And they would tell me anything and everything because they know that I will not go and kind of make announcements about our meetings or about our discussions and stuff like that. So they can trust me that I'm tight-lipped. So, but that is a real advantage because now I can work with both parties and I can bring them together through our institute, which is the Schwarzenegger Institute at USC, at the University of Southern California. And that has been fantastic because we bring together everyone there for any of the issues, if it's homeless issues, if it is healthcare issues, infrastructure issues, immigration issues, if it is, you know, the virus issues, whatever it is, we bring Democrats and Republicans, the brightest people are not from the local level, state level, and national level together to have those really open discussions.
Neben all diesen Projekten, die du machst, Klimakämpfer zu sein, Vorträge zu halten, gibt es auch wieder ein Movie-Projekt von dir? Sehen wir dich wieder im Kino oder auf Netflix?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we are working on putting together the script for Triplets, which is going to be a sequel to Twins. And it's really well written. And so I'm very excited that within the next few months, just start filming that project. And then there's also, I have a TV series that I'm going to do next year with Netflix, which is called FUBAR. And that's going to be kind of like a takeoff of True Lies, where I'm a secret agent and where I have a family, but they don't know about it. And then the conflicts that come in because of that. And all kinds of fun things and great, great surprises. So we are working on that right now. That will also shoot. That will start shooting next year, beginning of next year. So yes, but like I said, the COVID, kind of virus has slowed down the show business side a lot for everybody. But it's again one of those things where I cannot go and run around and say, oh my God, can you believe that? I just lost this movie because we cannot shoot it. Nor is it, forget it. You know, that while I'm not doing the movie, I do a lot of other things. And I can spend more time at home and have a good time. So it's all dandy and fine. His shoulder looks good.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure
that
you,
the
people should know that they're watching this, that this Frank Fassner that is shooting this is very, very jealous. He's very jealous of Tom's deltoids. Because when his deltoid sticks into the shot, then he's really worried about the deltoid. He thinks that his deltoids, Tom's deltoids are much bigger than his, that Frank's. So, I mean, that's what this is all about. Okay, I don't want to get involved here. I don't want to go, wie man da dazwischen einmischen oder irgendwas. Also, this is a problem momentan.
Lieber Arnold, die letzte Frage. Du bist jetzt 74 Jahre alt. Wenn du auf dein Leben zurückschaust, auf alles, was du gemacht und erreicht hast in deinem Leben, welchen Business-Rat würdest du heute deinem 20-jährigen Ich geben?
My rules. You know, it's just very simple to just tell people that no matter how old you are, doesn't matter if you're 20 or if you're 40, the opportunities are still available today as they always were, if you work your ass off and if you have a very clear vision of where you want to go. It's very important. You have to have a very clear vision. Du musst genau wissen, auf welche Richtung dass du gehst, wo du hingehst, was dein Ziel ist. Das ist sehr wichtig, weil sonst you're drifting around and you don't know where to end up. So this is not going to work. then you also have to know that if you have big visions and big plans, that there will be a lot of people that say, you will never make it. This is crazy. You're just fantasizing. Don't listen to the naysayers. So those are the important kind of things. And shoot for the top. Don't shoot for anything small or medium or this. Just shoot for the top, because eventually you will figure out how far you can go. A guy can only lift 500 pounds if you try 500 pounds. If you try to go only to 400 because you're afraid to lift the 500, you will never make the 500. And you will never know if you could have made it. So therefore, always shoot for the stars. So that's the thing. And don't look for a plan B. There's only a plan A. Plan A and plan B should be to make sure that you do, you follow through with plan A. That's it.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
It was a great pleasure.
All right. Watch your deltoids. Okay.
Dieser Podcast wird produziert von Podstars bei OMR.